Welcome to episode 7 of First Stage. I feel really good to be here. I am here with Caleb Davis and our guest, Chris Rodriguez. What's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Glad to be here.
So normally I have a theme song set up specifically for you, but we kind of did this on the fly after a comedy meeting. So I'm going to play this track that I did. It was one of the first things I ever created on the MIDI controller, and me and my friends, we play Phase 10 for money, you know, because we're degenerate gamblers.
Of course.
And there's this this guy that plays as Rick, and he notoriously gets skipped all the time and stuff. I think it's just his personality or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna skip him, and so I created this track called Skip Rick. So we're gonna start off with that.
Phase 10.
I'm the only one playing by the rules. Skip Rick. Who's the skip leader? Skip Rick. Skip Rick. It will never happen. Who's the skip leader? Skip Rick.
Why am I friends with y'all?
It's a good question.
Yeah, so you can find that on my YouTube channel, Aaron Durbin YouTube, if you want the Skip Rick to play at your parties.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I just might just take that little snippet of just, why am I friends with y'all?
Those are all sayings from the games that Rick has said. So, like, that's... It's just like, why am I friends with y'all? Like, all that shit. So,
that's a good mantra to have. I love it.
But we're here with Chris Rodriguez. You've been doing comedy for a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple years.
Kind of let people know when you started, and why you got into it.
Yeah, so I started back, I think it was like May 2018. I was at the Lantern Tavern at the Lights Out at the open mic. And I wasn't even going up to perform. I was just having a couple of drinks with my friend Rachel. And I had about probably 2 minutes of material ready to go. I was like, it was just something I've always wanted to do. Anthony Jeselnik's like my favorite comedian ever. I just have he has a really dark, sharp sense of humor. Something I really relate to. And then that night, I saw about 9 comedians I felt like just bomb. And I was just like, you
me
know
and Caleb
what?
Weren't there, obviously.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. No way.
I think Caleb was the host. I remember that. Caleb was the host. Like,
so I'm leading this shitty train.
Oh, just, yeah, for sure. He was just in the back, like, on his, like, 9th Coke and Jack or whatever.
Dredging the lake.
And then I'm just there, and I'm looking for Rachel. I was like, you know what? I only have 3 minutes of material, but, like, at least I have punchlines. Fuck, I feel like I could do better than this. And so I go up to Caleb. I was like, hey, man, you got room for one more? He was like, all right, strange man, you want to go up? I'm like, oh, yeah? Yeah, I do. And, so, yeah, that was my first night, and it was terrible. I was like, oh, wow, this is hard. I don't get it. Why is original comedy so hard to do? I don't understand.
That's so like everybody. Like, everybody's just like, I'm like hilarious with my friends. I don't understand, but like, there's like joke structure and like you. Have
oh,
to,
yeah, for
it's
sure.
Like people don't know like that you know this cousin Eddie or whatever and stuff.
Yeah.
And so you have to have context and like let people in on what the joke is.
Absolutely, yeah. Inside jokes at a crowd, it's terrible. A terrible idea, you know. So.
Yeah, so you're like one of those classic stories where you're there, but you were kind of dabbling.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to perform, but you were like, this has to stop. I am going to go fix this.
I put my foot down. I was like, yeah. I am the man that's going to save the night as number 11 comedian on the open mic.
Here we go.
I'll turn this around. And boy, was I wrong.
Let me ask you, whenever you came up, I don't really remember. Obviously, I don't remember much of it, but most of any of the nights that I host, I just try to get through it. But
I like hosting for me is just like it's like oh, relief, you know. It's just like, oh, I just got to do a couple minutes up top, and then I just got to like throw a joke in when some guy eats shit. I can do that.
Yeah. This is pretty easy. Just knock the ball. At least just hit it off the tee when someone lays it up for you. But did you remember if I was like reluctant or I was like, you sure, buddy? Yeah, you want to sign up? You sure?
Probably the latter. He was like, you sure you want to sign up, buddy? You're not going to do a bunch of street jokes?
Thank you, God. We have a new guy. There's a new person.
Well, you were real I mean, everyone, that's the whole thing with our scene. Y'all were real positive for first-timers. You were very I was like, hey, guys, first time going up, you know? So, like, it wasn't one of those, like, oh, here's this asshole. Because, like,
right.
I didn't give off the vibe, like, oh, sir, I need to fix the situation we're currently in. I didn't give off that vibe. I was like, I just, yeah, shoot your shot. You know?
Right. And I'm, yeah. I don't
really
know.
Sympathy. Like we love, because, I mean, like a scene like this where it's just, there's just not a lot of people going up and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Selena is just like, she's like, I'm the female comedian. It's like, we want more. You know,
yeah,
like,
I don't, for
like,
sure.
It's just, right. There's just not a lot of people, like you say, shooting your shot, taking their chance out there. Mm. Or they'll do it one time and you'll never see them again. But
yeah, it's terrified. Just like a bucket list thing. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know if that messes people, because I feel like I do that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's just super annoying to people. It's like, it's his first time.
Yeah, I feel like you get more sympathy if you let people know it's their first time. I mean, like, I do that. Yeah. I'll let people, because, like, I mean, because it is, I mean, like, it, like we take it for granted, but it is, like, a hard thing for people to do, because public speaking and all that shit and stuff. Like, I got into comedy starting with karaoke. I was just like, I was like, I'll go sing the song, and then that kind of took the stage fright off me, and then I went out and like I was like, all right, well, we'll tell some jokes and we'll see, and then it's just the fear gets lowered the more times you do it. So
yeah, yep, that's true.
Yeah,
well, I was true. Yeah, I know. Chris was just a welcomed human, like he's just such a functional, just checks all the boxes, works hard, does all the jokes, like he works on his material every week, shows up on time. He's just, he's like the dream guy that you want to like show up and just not like bring just disheveled bullshit with him to the scene. Like he's like was such a welcome,
No,
you're the welcomed, like, oh, this guy's a functional human being. Awesome.
You're the guy. You're the guy that we can like put in between some shitty comedians.
Oh yeah, it was like right away we were like, oh, thank God we have like a functional human being that's interested in performing, not like, you know, blasting their manifesto or some shit.
Yeah,
we're like, oh,
yeah. And like, you
my third wife left me, so let's talk about it for 5 minutes. Yeah. And why is everyone so sad during my set? I don't get it.
You've got a great arrogance to you too, which is fantastic. Oh, it's just like, awesome. This guy doesn't give a fuck about like what you say. It's like I'm gonna be me and you go fuck off. Like,
oh, absolutely. I don't believe in PC culture or censorship. Go fuck yourself.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, loud and proud. It's awesome.
So it looks like you brought us a set from, it looks like the Lantern Tavern here. I have a video set. Can you give a little context when this was and where it's from? Obviously, we don't have our posters up. I'm looking at it. It's a video. You guys are only going to get the audio, but like, I have a video in front of me here, and it's just the trivia poster up, but this is before we were like, we had our own like posters up where we were marketing the shit out of it. But
Big time marketing.
Oh, yeah.
But when was this, Chris?
Maybe a billboard.
Yeah,
someday.
So this was literally my first time performing comedy ever. It was the night that we just spoke of, me going to Caleb. Okay. Be like, sir, I can save this. I can save this night, clearly. And when I listened to a little bit of it for the first time this morning in like years, I was like, this is terrible. This is the most cringeworthy thing.
Yeah, but like we had a Chris Hobart on last week, and he's just like, I don't want to give you the worst one. I'm like, no, that's what this show's about.
Absolutely.
Like,
we want good stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, and also it's like, it's not precious or whatever. It's like, it sucks, so just like, you know, let it out there. It's like, it's to help like anyone who's out there to try and just like, just know that everybody starts from like a shithole.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Right, and it's a marker where it's like, you started here, look at how good you've gotten. Mm-hmm. Like, look how much time and effort and stuff that makes it better.
Yeah,
and how you can
celebrating the process.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And like, you have to start somewhere. And so
I don't think it's noticeable in this one, but the funny thing about me, and I think y'all may have noticed, the first probably 2 months I started comedy in the scene, I was so terrified of just going up. And even though like I'm a little bit of adrenaline junkie, I loved it. I purposely would do a fake accent just to.
I do remember that.
Just so like I could convince myself that if I fuck up, they don't know who I am because I'll just change my back to my normal accent. But I would talk in like a weird, I don't even know how to explain. I don't even know if it showed up in this one. I think it was probably the next one, but forever. And I'll never forget like my third set. I was like, so I'm Cuban. And later, like, I legit thought you were from Great Britain. Like, what the fuck's going on here? I'm just like, whatever.
Hello, like, people. I'm from Cuba.
I'm from Cuba, clearly, you know.
Yeah.
And Cuban culture, we like drinking, you know, teas and crumpets. But I don't know. It was just a way of coping with the anxiety of growing up.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I know I'm sure we made some sort of aside, like, to ourselves. I don't think we, like, busted your balls on it, like, on the mic.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is he going to keep doing this?
Like, oh, so he's, he's got an accent now. All right. Well, let's see where this goes.
Because I would talk to you guys after the show, like about the set. Yeah. Oh, man, this worked, this didn't. And be like, why do you talk like a normal, civilized human being?
I don't think anybody.
Like a British twat during when you go on up on set, you know?
Well, it's like everybody has their like things that they try out. Or like Jacob Callender was like taking his clothes off. And I'm like, well, you said your weenus that time. You gotta like, step it back.
Like a ball sack. It's like I had to like apologize to the crowd. I was hosting that show and there was a ball sack. It was just like,
and I'm like, we're not trying to get we're not trying to get kicked out of this place. And if you paid for the strip show, I'm sorry.
And then I roasted him for boxers. It's like, you're gonna do this dumbass idea in boxers? Like, there's a gap. There's a flap.
The flap. Yeah.
It's like, at least have it a close. Like, do some briefs.
You put your dick through there.
Even whitey tidies. Keep that shit shut. I don't give a fuck about whitey tidies. Just keep it shut. There was a flap.
All right. It looks like I'm looking at this. It's like a little under 5 minutes. So this is Chris Rodriguez's first set at the Lantern Tavern. I'm excited to rock and roll this.
How's everybody doing tonight? Woo! I'd like to go ahead and start off tonight and give a shout out to all fat people. Yeah. That's not good. I'm making fun of you guys. You ever wonder if fat guys get upset that they can't see their own penises?
We do.
Yeah. I learned that you should probably wait about 10 minutes between drinking beer and getting a blowjob. This girl was sucking my dick and then burped. And I was just like fucking disgusted. And when I looked at her, I was like, wow, I don't even feel bad that I cheated on you. The black man. Speaking of sodomy. I want to give a shout out to everyone that has given up on their dreams. Most of you are Uber drivers, and you guys have single-handedly allowed me to get home from my drunken nights of just pissing away all my disposable income. You know, disposable income, something you clearly know nothing about because you're an Uber driver. There was one time I was Uber home, and it was just like this really hot like tech chick, and I was like, hey girl. What do you do when you're not Ubering? She was like, oh, I'm going to tech to be a nuclear physicist. I was like, holy shit, that like fucking blew my mind because like most women can't drive and talk at the same time. So I'm going to share a story of probably single-handedly the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in my life. So one day I went into my backyard and there was just fucking trash everywhere. I'm like, what the fuck? So I go back to my trash can and I look around and there's little fucking claws everywhere. I was like, god damn it, a possum is fucking everything up in my trash can. So I did a logical thing. Put a freaking can on top of the trash can. Come back the next day, fucking trash everywhere. So next logical step, you'll think, all right, put a lock on it, right? No. I got a bottle of whiskey and a 12-gauge shotgun, turn off the lights. It's about 2 a.m., a cloudy night, can't see shit. And I hear scampering. It's going back and forth. I was like, I got this motherfucker. I aim, boom, hear a squeak, like, got it. Turn on the lights, go over there. I walk up to it, I'm like, fuck. It was my neighbor's shih tzu. Oh. There was so many tears in that little girl's eyes. I felt so bad. So let's fast forward to that morning. My boss was like, Chris, I've got executive investors coming in from China. I need to entertain them till 2. Because our VPs won't be ready till then. I was like, not a problem, boss man. He's like, take them somewhere nice, you know, take them to a nice, restaurant. I'm like, all right, cool, not a big deal. So when I get there, I was like, there's this restaurant called Shohan's, most prestigious, like, Chinese restaurant that we have in the area. And it's very small, only can fit about 15 people. It's like, all right, call up, I get reservations. Fucking excited. So I bring these investors, I come in, and this Chinese guy comes and approaches me at the door. I was like, greetings, my name is Chris Rodriguez. I have a reservation for 5 at 2 p.m. He looks at me, and he was like, okay. I was like, cool. Motherfucker walks out the door. I'm like, what the fuck? Guy didn't work there. He was just a fucking random dude. He just like walked out. So the investors called my dad, and he was my boss, and he was like, hey, what the fuck? Damn it. Anyway, so the investors called my boss, and they're like, what the fuck? And I was like, why would you even take them there? Our Chinese food versus theirs is fucking garbage. I was like, well, I recently had to purchase a dog, and I didn't want it to go to waste. So I got one joke, and I'll finish up for the night. So I was at work, and we have like these big like 8-inch pipes that go through, and all of a sudden there was like an obstruction to the flow, and I was like, whoa, what the heck? That's impossible. It's like 8-inch line. My worker's like, no, look. So we opened it up. All of a sudden, a raccoon comes out of it. So I did the one thing that I knew I could do in that situation. I took a picture of it and sent it to my friends. And all the women in my group got offended. Like, Chris, what the hell? What if that little trash panda had a family? I was like, everyone relax. If that little baby panda's had a mother, that mother's dead now. Kind of like George W. Bush right now. All right, I'm done.
Panda, like...
Trash panda.
Yeah, I think one thing I do give props to that set, as cringy as it was, I did manage to offend, I think, every demographic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Board. And like, people who don't know Chris, that's like your MO. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, it's like right, who do y'all like? I'm a Trump supporter.
I just couldn't hear. I do specifically remember, because I had no idea how like an open mic was structured with like the whole light thing. I thought if you got the light, it meant like immediately get off the stage. It didn't mean you had 60 seconds to finish up your bit, at least within our area.
I assume that's commonplace. So like when you get the light, it means wrap it up. And like for us, we're like a light is like you have a minute, and then I don't realize how many people don't know that. We're all kind of comedy fans.
Yeah,
and
for
so
sure.
We've heard podcasts and people talk about the light and all that stuff. But then it's like, I thought you were taking a picture of me or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just like,
yeah,
no. I'm like,
me,
you're
I'm
not that good, man.
Now. He's taking a picture of me clearly, you know. But I remember you lit me, and I'm in the middle of that freaking like horrible trash panda joke that I'm doing, and I don't think it came through the audio, but I was like, I'm almost done. I'm finishing up,
I'm
Mr.
Sorry,
Caleb.
Sir.
Like, sir, I'm trying to finish up.
It's I will say the irony of giving you shit about you saying my dad instead of my boss is pretty ridiculous, because I am a product of fucking nepotism myself. So I think that was a little projection of me like being just drunk.
You're
enough.
Like, those like, are that's my
oh,
joke,
your
man.
Dad? My mom employs me. Thank you.
Yeah, I remember.
Can't get fired when your family.
Well, I totally fucked up that punchline.
Well, I will say that like every like you could hear the audience kind of weighing in on each joke, and it was like they were like
there were a lot of oohs and ahs.
Like, they were like and then you got a good one. They're like, oh.
But like, I mean, like you came pretty much like straight confidence, like like you didn't seem nervous or anything, like. You're like, and you did not say it was your first time, which a lot of people will go up and be like, hey, it's my first time doing this. Like, and so like that
emphasize.
Was,
it's not my fault. This is shit. Right. It's my first time.
It's like setting up to like, not, it's like, I'm protecting myself from, it's
exactly.
Like, hey, it's my first time. You know?
Yeah. You're setting like some sort of like baseline of like, well, if I fuck up here, it was Mark's fault. I'm here. Oh, hey, I was just sitting back here and I had a couple beers and I'm a pretty
my buddy
guy
told me to
my
do
buddy
this.
Mark told me to sign
it's,
up.
It's the same. It's the same thing with like karaoke or whatever. It's just like my friend signed me up for this, so get ready for it to be terrible.
Yeah, sugar, we're going down swinging, as sung by Hillbilly Joe. Like, sugar, going down swinging.
I don't know why my impersonation of anybody that's ever signed up in that way is. Some truck driver that masturbates on this, like the Sweetwater.
Hey,
fucking
girl.
No, that's like demographic.
Well, you know, I was talking to Mark and he told me to sign up.
Do you guys ever watch Your Mom's House? They have
absolutely.
They have that guy up and he's like, "Hello, beautiful ladies above 18." like obviously that guy's gotten in trouble or whatever. Yeah. Just like I need to let you ladies know not send me videos of your titties if you're under 18 years old.
Jesus. So.
I love your mom's house, Tom Segura and all them. They're hilarious.
Yeah, I'm going to Vegas in a couple of weeks, and I was supposed to be going to see Tom Segura at the Mirage, and canceled that or whatever. Yeah, but now I'm
Resident
just
gonna, Jeans give you a refund?
I mean, like, well, I didn't buy the ticket yet. I was it was one of those things where the ticket was locked and you couldn't.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, well, I can't buy it. And then I saw he rescheduled. He's in Oklahoma, which I'm sure he's more excited about that than being in Vegas.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, when I think of places to go, Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Vegas, I'm like, oh, yeah, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love shitty beer and not having fun and no trees.
There is a great place in Tulsa. It's like a hipster, like, bowling alley.
Yeah.
I think it's called the Dust Bowl. And, like, that's the one
that's
good place.
That's
one
Vegas
good
trip.
Place in Tulsa. It's the one good place in Tulsa. Yeah, it's.
I don't
it's
know.
Way
I was in Vegas. So I was in Vegas and I saw a. A concert that has a bowling alley, so it just shits on that place.
The Brooklyn Bowl, right?
Yes, that
I
place
saw
is
Ween
awesome.
There. Yeah.
You saw Ween there. Yeah. I saw a Yonder Mountain String Band.
Oh, nice!
It was great. Just a little fiddle.
I like me. I went to the Yonder Mountain String Band Festival back in the day. It was in where they do Wakarusa in Arkansas.
Yep.
Mulberry. Like I was posing as my friend was working for the local news station, so I was posing as his cameraman. I'm like, hey, can I just come with you on this trip and pretend to be your cameraman? He's like, yeah. So I had this like press pass. It was awesome. Yeah, I got to talk to Dave and Simonette, who's in the band Trampled by Turtles, which I love, and so I got to have like just a full on conversation. Thought I was a real person. Like,
so whenever you talk to me, you need to make sure you're on your good side because I'm the camera guy.
Cool. I'll get you ready. But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
The first time I ever went to Vegas, I think I was like 22 at the time. I took a suicide trip. I drove from Lubbock, Texas, to Santa Monica to go see System of a Down live.
Well, people don't know. Huge System of a Down fan here. How many concerts have you gone to?
I've seen them 10 times.
Okay,
that's awesome.
10 times live.
So, kind of good System of a Down. No, I'm just kidding.
It's like just an okay fan. Yeah, that's like pretty underwhelming numbers. I get it.
It's all good. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I've not seen a band 10 times. Well, I've seen Thrift Store Cowboys and maybe the Toadies 10 times, but that's a Lubbock thing. So
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment.
Why not? Widespread panic over here.
I'm on like 20. I'm in the 20s.
I've seen Nickelback 47 times.
Yeah, I'm in the 20s for widespread.
I've got Photograph tattooed on my back.
Those lyrics are two bads on my ass.
That's right. Look at this photograph.
I got that on my ass.
So you just said photograph.
Yeah, so we're driving from Lubbock to Santa Monica, which is like, I don't know. Like
16, 17 hours.
Yeah, I did that drive for the Price is Right when I turned 18. Yeah, it's a rough one.
So it's three of us. We take rotations. I drive from Lubbock to Albuquerque. My buddy does Albuquerque to Flagstaff, Arizona. And then my friend, who happened to be working night shift, so he drove the night rotation. Drove from Flagstaff to. We decided to make a little stop in Vegas.
So you all never stopped?
Nice.
Never stopped. Well, we stopped to get like food and stuff like that, like stop. We did one pit stop, and that was in Vegas. So my first time. So I'm like minimal sleep. Well, we take a little stop from Flagstaff to Vegas, and then Vegas, we're going to Santa Monica. So we are literally in Vegas for maybe 3 hours at the most.
Yeah.
My buddy loves to gamble. I'm not a big gambling guy. And so me and my friend Steven. We're like, well, we're going to drink. So the first thing we do when we get there, we go to Fat Tuesdays, get the yard-long margarita, which already has four shots of Everclear, and then you could pay extra
That's
get
a problem.
Two extra shots of Everclear. So we start off the night on minimal sleep and food with a yard-long margarita that has six shots of Everclear, and we crush it. We crush it in like 45 minutes, as a logical human being does. And then after that, we're like, okay, well, we can't come to Vegas and not have a Vegas bomb. So we go up to just a random bar next to one of the
Do people take Vegas bombs in Vegas?
We did. I don't know if it's a common thing, but I was like,
were they like $19? And you're
That's the thing. So we're there, and we're at the we're so used to Lubbock prices. Like, that'll be nine nickels and a bag of rice, sir.
Yeah. A whiskey's $1.
Can I pay in
bees?
All right, cool.
Yeah, $1.50 for whiskey. Man,
so,
this is awesome.
So we're there. My buddy has to break the seal. It's like, here, man, here's $9. That should cover it. I was like, bro, we're in Vegas. I don't know if that's going to cover it. He was like, okay, we'll take two Vegas bombs and two Dos Equis. It's like, all right, that's $45.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you're going to ignore $9. So we have the yard long
which is already a margarita that has tequila, six shots of Everclear. We take a Vegas bomb, then we crush a Dos Equis. 90 minutes in Vegas. This is
our so y'all are just blacked out.
Oh, well, and
y'all are about to drive again? Like,
oh, I was his buddy. His
buddy who was, he didn't want to drink. He just wanted to gamble. That was his thing.
Thank God.
Was
he
had no interest in drinking. He just wanted to go hit the slots and, you know, go test his luck.
Slots.
So me and my friend were like, luckily my friend is a little bit bigger than me. I'm like 130 pounds
man.
At the time.
Oh, and so you're
like,
a little
me, though. Yeah. So yeah, my blood alcohol content is way fucked up. So we leave probably at maybe hour three, you know, and we're going to Santa Monica. And we're on the highway heading out of Vegas. We're not even out of Vegas. And I'm in the back seat just blackout drunk. My buddy's in the passenger seat. He's doing pretty well because, like I said, bigger guy. He can handle his alcohol, obviously, a little better than me. Keeping my friend awake. And then I just randomly pop up. It's like pull over. But pull over. And so he pulls over. And there's a car behind us that pulls over with us. It's like, oh, shit. This is like a cop or something. I don't know. Well, I don't know what's going on. So I go over this guardrail and just puke my guts out. And it turned out it was this group of guys in a Jeep from Australia. He goes, "Oi, mate, you all right?" I was like,
"You get a little drunk, yeah."
I was like, "Yeah, yeah, Vegemite or whatever the fuck they say, you know." And he was like,
"I got you a Vegemite sandwich."
Vegemite sandwich. Sell it, Betty. And then,
I look like he got you a little. You get the yard long margarita, mate.
Yeah. I was like, "Yeah, had a little bit, little too much to drink." He was like, "All right, just checking up on you," and he just took off down the highway. I was like, "Man, people from Australia is fucking nice as hell, man."
Just checking up on you,
yeah,
governor.
I
guess that's British.
Just mixed match.
This is why I'm not on SNL. It's
yeah,
just like
so,
I'm
so cultured.
I mix all my English speaking accents wrong.
But yeah, so that was my first time in Vegas. I learned that six shots of Everclear is too much from a person of my stature.
And, oh, I learned that. I learned that at 15. Awesome. Like, yeah. Everclear and Dr. Pepper is not a good thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like for everybody.
Yeah,
six
yeah.
is
like
way
no,
too much.
Yeah, well, and like no one's like my drink is Everclear. Like, no one says it's like oh, you want a whiskey, a scotch? Like, nah, Everclear's good for me. Like,
I remember trying to be a hard ass in high school and take a shot of Everclear.
Your throat just dries up.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Like Everclear is designed for mixers. That's why it's there. Like,
it was like a, like you said, degenerate gambler. It's like, yeah. $10 says Davis can't take a shot of Everclear. I was like, fuck you. Yes,
shit,
I can.
Shit, I would take that bet right now. I was just like, I can use $10.
Yeah.
Let's put out the Everclear. Let's do this man. Right now.
My young virgin palate did not survive night. It was like, this is... I was like, that's what gasoline tastes like, smells like. What the fuck? It didn't make it.
The first I'm never drinking again was off of Everclear and Dr. Pepper. I think it was like 15 or whatever.
Yeah. Mine was wild turkey.
That good lasted a couple weeks. You know?
Yeah.
Like a couple months maybe.
Yep. Wild turkey. I had to come clean with the rinse. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so hungover, I'm throwing up every 10 minutes. What do I do? And they went and got me a
hamburger.
They're
like, welcome to growing up, son.
They're like, what you can do is some yard work, you little bitch. Welcome to the freaking house.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
hydrate up, son. You got to do
some
yard
work.
Some
people do this and hold a job later. Yeah.
Imagine doing this every fucking night and then getting up for work and not being late.
I think the most drunk I've ever been in my life was not even in this country. I went to go study abroad a couple of summers back when
fuck
I was in college.
Fuck yeah. Norway, 2003.
Keep your passport on you.
Yeah, no shit. So we were in Italy. We're off the coast of some little shanty town or whatever. I don't know. And me and a bunch of friends, there was a bar off like the pier. And we're like, oh, okay, we're going to go down there, obviously. You know. So all the other, like, quote, good students were already in bed in our little cars. We're like, oh, we're going to go put a party tomorrow. We're going to get a good night's sleep. I'm like, ah, fuck you. And so we go down.
We're
the
in Europe. That
yeah,
shit.
Fuck off.
Sleep is relative, motherfucker.
Yeah, like technically this is daylight in America, and I am America, you know. And so we go down there, and we go to this bar. There's, like, no one there. It's just us. And so the owner comes up, and he's like, what do you guys want? I was like, oh, I want a beer. He was like, all right, sir, do you want girl size or do you want manly size? I was like,
wow, way to insult you. Hey, pussy, do you want like a real beer? Or like,
what a good business owner.
Yeah. I was like, man size, duh.
Yeah, he's like, all right, well, that's an extra
$4. He's like, yeah, and that comes with a roofie in it. So
he comes back, I kid you not, with like a liter of beer.
Yeah.
It was like a light beer, but it was
a liter
of beer. And then he doubles down on how awesome of a business. He's like, all right, here you go. This is man size. He goes, my record is six. If you drink six of these, I give you best wine on the house.
I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I am. Like, so I am, at the time, again, probably around 135 pounds. I crushed three of these. So, like, 3 liters of, like, God knows what alcohol content this was.
Yeah.
And
was
I
it beer or was it, like, a drink?
It was a beer. It was a beer, okay. But still, like, that's a shitload of alcohol.
No, yeah. I mean, like, just the weighted stuff. I mean, I played Edward 40 Hands, you know? It's, like, it's rough. Like, that kind of weight.
So, I get halfway through, and then we leave. I am just belligerent drunk. And we go into, there's, like, a little beach right there, like, right next to the pier. And I start touching the water and start freaking the fuck out, like I'm gonna drown because I have like no motor skills. So like the panic part of me is like, I can't swim. I'm like, I'm 4 inches of water, you know.
Yeah. I was like, Chris Rodriguez dies in 4 inches of water.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god,
the American dies in 4 inches of water.
So I don't know how we managed to get back to my room, and I'm rooming with these three other jackasses from another school, like, and I'm in a cot, and it's probably 4 a.m. We're leaving like at 6 a.m. to go to Pompeii, and I am just done. And so I black out, and then the students try to wake me up. I was like, Chris, like, come on, man. We gotta go on the little bus. You know, we gotta go see the
volcano. Go Pompeii. Yeah. See destroyed city.
Yeah. See the little murder cement. And they couldn't wake me up because I was just done. My professor comes in. I'm like, shit. And like, I don't realize it's him. And he shakes me. I don't know what about me realized, like, hey, I need to get my shit together. So he like, shakes me. Like, hey, Chris, man, we're about to leave in 5 minutes. And I go like, I only need two.
That is you in a nutshell. Yeah, yeah. That is you in a nutshell. It's like, fuck you.
You're like, enhance.
You're like, hang on, the timer on my toothbrush is 2 minutes.
And literally, I throw all my shit in my bag. I pack everything. I'm going up this little cliff to get up to the fucking bus. And I get up, and it's literally the walk of shame. Like, all other 40 students are there waiting on
me.
Got
their shit together.
And there's one seat in the back of the bus. I'm just walking back. I have the hoodie and sunglasses to block my bloodshot eyes. I get the last seat, and I just black out. I wake up, and there's just fucking volcanoes and mountains. I'm like, where the fuck are we?
Welcome to hell, son.
Yeah, you die. Welcome to hell. Yeah.
This is what you get.
And so the drunkenness continues. Like, we get to Pompeii, the top of this volcano. I'm assuming everyone knows what Pompeii is, the little murder volcano that kind of fucked everyone over.
The 12 people that listen to this are, I assume, educated now.
Yeah, Pompeii. Like, type it in.
Yeah, there you go. Google it.
It's
Google
like the Secretary of Defense's last name.
Yeah. And this is how much of a dumbass I was. A little drunk, too. So we get to the top of this thing, and I see 4, 5, 6 video cameras, and then at the very edge, about a quarter mile, there's like a little gift shop. And I'm looking around, I'm like, why the fuck are there so many security cameras around here? Do they really think I'm gonna steal something from that gift shop? And I was like, Chris, this is an active volcano. So it was like the freaking videos to make sure that if the volcano was about to erupt again.
Yeah,
I was like, oh shit.
We can't kill these Americans, you know?
So like, this is still an active volcano. I'm over here like, oh, those cameras are there for shoplifting, obviously.
Yeah, obviously they don't want me to steal anything.
I like how it's all about you, you know? It's
yeah,
like,
for sure.
I did have a thieving period in my life. Like I think it was like 13 to 15, I was stealing a bunch of shit. Mostly Magic the Gathering cards because they were so expensive.
Oh, you'd steal the packs?
Yeah, the starter packs and statute of limitations. I think we're good. Yeah, Toys R Us.
Yeah,
get some better security.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Well, they just have them like in a bin.
Yeah. It was like it was like a hardcore operation. I guess
Jack and shit like really wasn't like to me like a it wasn't a problem. Like it wasn't like a It was like I didn't think it was like a an act of like, hey, you could get in deep shit if you do this. Like we were in Lubbock, it was all about if you leave your garage door open, we're raiding your fridge.
Yeah.
I think we did that too.
We knew the good houses, and we knew we would ride our bikes into good neighborhoods, and we'd wait. We'd see a garage door open.
You're like, hey, 30 pack.
Boom! Don't grab. You know, if it's just two or three, if you can only even grab two beers, grab them. We'll chug them, and then we'll go to the next one. But it was just all just basically if you don't secure your shit, was it yours? It's not yours to begin with.
Yeah, because I'm huge on like locking doors and all that. My roommate, like, he got his glasses stolen out of his car in the parking lot here at the apartment. But he says door was unlocked. I'm like, well, you know, like kind of open yourself up to that.
I feel like that's like a someone that's stolen shit mentality. It's like, yeah, well, you fucked up. You should have locked your door. Well, that's my property. No,
I love your mentality.
Lock
like,
your door.
I don't see how people thought real. I didn't realize until I was 25 that thievery was a crime.
It's also like
it comes from a kid who had an uncle or grandfather and uncle had a salvage yard, and so it was just like the day was going through cars and looking for change.
Yeah.
You know, because you'd have all these like wrecked cars out there, and it's just like, I'm gonna go. I was like, I got an AC/DC live cassette tape that I loved so much that I got from like, you know, some crash car in Kansas, you know, like because like that's what we did during the day. If you've never been to Richmond, Kansas, it's like population 300 people, yeah. And you got to find shit to do to be interested about it. Like, and so it's just like it's like here, just go out there and go out there to the cars and see what you can find. I'm like, yes, I will do this.
I feel like a place like that, like you find something in a car and then you take it to like a pawn shop or something. Like, oh, you found Bob's quarter over in the yeah. chair. Yeah, this is Bob's. It's in his chair. Like, they all know the shit that you're already going to steal. Like, oh, is this the radio?
This is my wedding ring. And it's like, shit.
Oh, is this the radio? Is this the transistor radio out of Paula's abandoned home over there off the highway? Yeah, it is. Oh, okay. You're going to try to get some money for that? You should just put it back.
Yeah, it should give it back to him. It's just like, no. Like, do you understand how bored I am right now? Like, this is my life. Like, because, like I'll like give you, like, a quick little history. It's like going to that, like, the only times, like we would have fun would be occasionally go to a Kansas City Royals game.
That's fun.
And then, and then the other time was, like, there was, like, a sale in Garnet, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, I'm going to buy these knives from this like crazy meth head or whatever. It's like, that was like the best thing.
Guarantee you they're sharp.
Other than that, it was like,
I'm sharpening these knives all fucking night.
Super
sharpest knives.
Sweaty days in like grandma's house with no air conditioning. And like, but when she made homemade ice cream, that was the shit. Like, I dream about that ice cream now because it's so good.
Well, so Kansas City for you is where you'd go and vacation.
Yeah,
two weeks
every year, Kansas City.
But with Chris, you're from Miami.
Yeah,
like you were born there, right?
I was.
And how long did you live there before you moved to this dusty, shitty fucking neck of the woods?
Yeah, so I was born in Miami proper. It's on my birth certificate. So 6 years. 6 years I grew up there. And then we visit quite often. And then since I graduated college, until the pandemic hit, I was visiting Miami about every 90 days.
That's awesome. So you've got a lot of like, that's like where your second home is.
Oh, for sure.
Or
that's
at least
cool,
probably where you feel comfortable going.
Oh, yeah,
like that's just home.
Miami's second spot to me for sure. You know?
Yeah, that's awesome. So what like, as far as like, for me, like I've never even been to Miami.
Miami's the shit, man. Yeah. I went there for my only football game I've gone to NFL is the Miami Dolphins Jets game.
Oh, that's
a couple years ago, 2018.
I think we were actually at that same game.
Really?
I'm not joking.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know like.
We didn't know each other. I think
I was.
Time.
Like, yeah, yeah. So it was from. It was probably in October, right? Every year.
Because I was gonna do the Steelers game, but apparently Steelers like tickets are way more expensive. Like
Steelers
like,
fans travel.
Yeah, like, yeah, and so sure. I was like, what's a cheaper one? And my friend was working in Miami at the time, mm-hmm. and I'm like, hey man, if I buy these tickets, fly down and we go to this game. He's okay, cool. So yeah, it was cheaper to go to the Jets game.
Yeah,
so.
We were at the same game, but like I said, I don't think we knew each other that well.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think we. I don't know if you were doing comedy or like we.
I probably
maybe
I probably
just
was,
started.
But I was like that lines up with I was just barely starting in the same, you know.
So like, what do you do whenever you go there? Like, if you're a local, what are like? All right, I got to do this, and this. Like for me, like.
Yeah.
You know, living here, it's like I don't really have that shit where it's like, when I get home, I got to go do all this shit. Like, Lubbock's so easily navigated, and you can do
for
whatever
sure.
the fuck you want whenever you want.
Lubbock, you get a Taco Villa bean burrito, and you go
that's what I hear.
Drink. I don't know.
Yeah, so you get that Irish whiskey from that one bar.
There you go.
They pour it differently.
We're like eating and drinking? Yeah, come to Lubbock, Texas. You know,
We're a good...
there we go. Let's just mix our everything into one jumbled bullshit accent.
Vegemite. So yeah, if you ever go to Miami, it depends on what you do. There's a lot of touristy stuff. Like me personally, like literally one of the first things I do when I get off the plane, usually my aunt or one of my cousins picks me up, and off Bird Road, there's several restaurants, but I always go to the one off Bird Road as La Carreta. And La Carreta has been around there, I believe, since the 40s. It's the most genuine Cuban food that you can have. The place is open 24/7. Never, never not packed. Like, you know, it's like it's a staple of the area, you know.
Fuck yeah.
And so if you don't want like the bullshit commercializedness, like it's so good. So like that's my first thing. I go up there, I get a Cuban steak and some black beans and white rice, and then I have some of the flan, and then I'll finish off with some Cuban coffee. And
sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's amazing. So yeah, that's like one of my favorite places to eat. And then I mean, obviously you can do South Beach. South Beach is fun. You got Bayside. So Bayside is near the actual American Airlines Arena. That's by the Miami Heat Stadium. It's a lot more touristy, I should say. I don't feel like you're going to get the true vibe, but it is at least do it once, you know.
Yeah.
Go to Bayside. Mm-hmm. Go see the touristy stuff. It's right there off the marina. Go watch a Miami Heat game. Maybe if you're not a fan, it is a good time. The Miami, their pregame show. Like,
I think any professional basketball game is fun to watch.
You should get to, go watch some pros. They're freaking fantastic.
Yeah. With the Miami Heat, they always have like these like ginormous, like, industry level flamethrowers, if that's a thing, and they because obviously they're the Heat,
the Heat.
And they have these fire in the middle of the stadium. It's just a good time.
That's cool.
And then there's a bunch. I think I'm not sure if it's La Carreta, but there's a couple of like higher name. I mean, I think it might be Gino's. Anyways, the Cuban food in the actual proper arena.
Oh,
and you can
okay.
You can get croquettes and stuff like that. Oh, absolutely delicious.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I was like Cuban. Like I think when I was in Miami, I didn't really get. Like, I didn't find like a Cuban place. So I was just I want to get like the Cuban sandwich and all that shit.
Yeah, like, Cuban sandwiches are good. I mean, it's kind of like here, like with barbecue. You're not going to get shitty barbecue because if you have shitty barbecue, you're not going to survive in Texas.
Yeah, true.
Same thing with like Miami. If you have, if you sell a shitty Cuban sandwich, you're not going to be around.
Yeah, this sucks. Caleb has a Tom and Bingo's hat on, so if you're in Lubbock, Texas, head out to Tom Bingo's and get like a chop
beef sliced sandwich. Beef. Yeah. He makes his own sausage.
Yeah.
dick joke. Sorry, that's not good.
For sure.
He did make a new. He's got a new sausage out this week. It's a chipotle cheddar, and it's pretty good.
Let's check it out.
Nice.
So for Miami, I just feel like because I haven't been there, like I don't want to ruin it for my head.
Yeah.
But I feel like that there's like so many just asses out in Miami. And it's whether it's like a dude's ass or a chick's ass, like it's just thongs beyond belief, like all over everywhere. Don't ruin this for me.
Just lie to him.
If you go to South Beach, probably. You know, I'm not going to hold that against you. Honestly,
it's like girls like playing music and just shaking their ass.
Maybe
super happy.
If you go to the more tourist area, it's like, but honestly, the traffic's horrendous there, and and I love it because like you guys already kind of call me out. I'm kind of an asshole and a narcissist. I tell you how it is. I'm isolated. I'm just one Cuban in the middle of the fucking West Texas. When you get a fucking cluster of us, we're... Oh, my God.
Y'all just tear us apart.
I love it. Like Cubans, like, we're
would love to see him in his element with, like his family. Just like, it's like, oh, let's take this girl down.
What is he, Russian?
Did we not say in Miami, Cuban sandwich make you?
Did we not say I was terrible with accents?
they're Russian Cubans. That's like America's worst fucking enemy.
I'm trying to think. It's like Cuban rat. Like I don't have a good Cuban accent. So.
This one thing I love so
Look
much.
Look at me.
Please keep going.
I'm just ruining. Like, it's just like, this guy's canceled. He can't do anything. It's like, what you talking to me?
Oh, no. The First Stage podcast, all 12 listeners. Like, we're going
to
cancel.
I've been waiting to get canceled, so it's fine.
And she's like, please, I wish you would. I wish you would.
It's Chappelle all over again. I was like, Dermot had nothing. They took half of that shit.
Do you think that comedy is like a natural type thing, or at least like having like the confidence that you do to like get behind a mic is like a natural thing that you feel like is maybe like in your blood, like a Cuban thing?
Oh yeah, for sure. So like the interesting thing about the Cubans in general, they're the most interesting, like, and this might be a little bit of a biased saying, but they're one of the most interesting immigrants to this country. Because if you think of like America historically, it was things like, oh, we come to America because we want a better life, right?
Right.
You know, I'm a son of an immigrant. My dad was born in Havana, you know. He was born in Cuba proper. But when you think of, like, you know, the Irish, the Mexicans, like, oh, we came here because we want a better life, and maybe one day we can prosper as well. The Cubans were not like that. The Cubans came to Miami, are like, we own this bitch. Like, there's no,
this
like,
is our
it was like
plan.
There's no, like, one day maybe we can prosper like the Americans.
You are like, opportunities are like, hey, there's, we need to go take this over.
Hey, we're taking over the shoreline
this is,
here.
The, yeah, this is too close to not go.
The,
yeah.
The amount of confidence the Cuban people have, it's so beautiful. Like, they just showed up. They literally showed up to the U.S. soil, like, yeah, we got this. Like,
I mean, that's why Pitbull is popular, right?
Yeah. It was like, one day we could be good,
one glove.
Too. And we're like, we show up day zero with nothing in our pockets. We're like, nah, we already own this. This is great. You know, like, we're going to be awesome. And it was like, oh, we can be prosperous. And we're better than that. Like, and I don't know what it is. Like, it's awesome.
Well, I think that's... I mean, really, if you draw the parallel to comedy, I mean, you really need to have at least that...
Does some kind
going
of level
on
confidence.
Either visually or like confidently from your voice, or I mean, it just depends on what kind of I guess message you're trying to go across. But as far as making people laugh, like, there's a trust value. You need to earn people's trust.
Yeah.
To go, hey, just I got you. Just stay with me for just a second, and I got you. You know, it's not like immediately. You know, there's just those things. There's just factors. I mean, there's comedians all over that have different messages, but I think that reigns.
Yeah,
it has to. You have to show up and have confidence that you're going to deliver your material well and how you want to do it, because there's so many outlying
it's
factors
like
that could
three
trip
things.
You up.
It's like confidence, voice, and like and then arrogance or whatever.
It's like, hey, people want to listen to me, right? Like,
obviously, yeah.
But I just think that that's really interesting, because it really did seem like you really didn't have like a learning phase for you. Like, you talked about, like, you kind of like disguised who you were until you felt comfortable. And then, I mean, I think that's a great thing for you that was like, I don't know if I like this or not. So I'm just going to do some kind of weird until I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But it, at least from me looking at you showing up to sign up, like, this is right up your alley. Like, it was like, dude, this guy, it makes sense that he wanted to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So
for sure.
It was
yeah.
It was
and
pretty cool
stuck
to
around,
watch,
which is nice.
Yeah, because it's like,
don't mind that. That was just me, my elbow.
No, it was, Aaron was attacked by a bear. No, he wasn't. He just elbowed.
That would have been a better story.
Well, there is a better But no, I just think that's a great, like, I just feel like you have, like, the seat, like, you know where you need to be, like, and so that's just a really, really good, like, it's such a leg up that you have on other people, where it's like, you know, you see somebody and it's like they have something to say, they want to say it, and they just can't they can't convey what they want to do.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have any problem with that.
Oh yeah.
And it's really impressive to have that, you know, that type of just roll right into it. Like, you never really had that where it's like, maybe we need to, you know, there's just a few things that maybe we'll do at some point in time to talk to some comedians about, hey, maybe you should try this, maybe you should try that. Well, we try to stay like super hands off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and it seemed like we watched you kind of just like really come to your own when you were just doing it.
Yep.
You're like, all right, this is a little too aggressive. I got to step back from this.
And,
like,
and that was the one thing, and this is one thing I recommend to anyone that ever wants to do comedy ever. Like, obviously, first off, just do it. You know, do your first open mic. Record your sets, man. Like, it's like, I would record every single night. So I would go to the various open mics we have in the area, and literally on the drive home, I just listen back and realize, okay, was this a little too aggressive? Because I do have that problem where I'm just like, I get like too excited. I'm like, all right, assholes, I'm gonna ram you and do all these dark and gritty shit, you know, which is my bread and butter. But like, you know, you got to figure out that balance.
Sure.
And
record and listen.
Oh, for
I mean,
sure.
I've recorded and it's like I'll do it like in one day, and then I just feel like this little like tiny.
Yeah. For me,
it's
just like
tear all the stuff down.
Sometimes you really think you killed it and you didn't, and like I'm like, listen to that, and then there are other times where it's like I did terrible. I'm like, listen to that crowd response. Obviously, I did good. And so you're hard on yourself. So
I actually had this conversation today, and like, you'd be surprised how like how much of a difference like if you change your tone subtly for like a punchline or something like that.
Yeah,
how that can be
or like
black
a
and white
like a 1 second breath or whatever.
Yeah,
between, like, it's like the joke's better if I just pause.
Yeah,
for a second.
I had a fellow comedian who was pitching a joke to me, and he was like this and this and this, and the last of this was the punchline. And I'm just there like sitting and I'm like, okay, what's the next of this, right? And I was like, no, that was the punchline. I was like, yes, I didn't know. If you would have done a subtle pies and then boom, hit me with it.
Yeah.
You know, that would have had a black and white, you know, response with me, you know? So.
Yeah, I mean, that's like classic comedy stuff. Like you can just change a tone on how you deliver anything. And I mean, it just
changes
sounds
the whole
way
joke.
Different. Like
yeah.
I'm trying to think of, I read something this week about, George Carlin, and it was he talked about like, oh, what was it? I think it was like, oh, me and my wife later are gonna go walk the dog.
Yeah,
that's how he said it. He goes, or I could deliver it with, me and my wife later are about to go walk the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
you're going, that's the same line.
Yeah,
it's
written
out that way, but it's totally
that's
different.
The thing, that's
it changes the whole
shit.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's like, me and it, well, what is that? You're going to go like, fuck your wife? Like, what is that? Yeah, like,
words on the page don't
exactly.
give you the nuance of how they're saying things.
Yeah.
Like,
it was very similar to that, but it's like, that's exactly what's so great about tone. Context, delivery. I mean, those things go into second level, third level, like way up into.
Yeah.
But once you're, you know, once you first start,
yeah,
it's like I just want people to listen to me
for sure.
It's like, all right, I can do some nuance. I can do this.
Well, my
this,
favorite,
this,
like
this.
Bill Hicks thing is like when he talks about like he's like fuck, fuck people who smoke, and then at the end of it, he like lights up a cigarette. like I mean, just like it was like he was totally setting him up for it, and like he knew that. So like, I love that.
Oh, I've listened. Yeah, I love Bill Hicks like on smoking, where it's like he like talks about like all these like people that have lived for forever.
And yeah, like the running guy.
Guess what? He's dead.
Yeah, died of a heart attack.
Yeah, died of a
heart
attack.
Didn't smoke a day in his life. Dropped dead.
But
right
guess what? He's still dead. So fuck you. Light him up.
Yep. Well, we've got a pretty good chunk here, so let's just go into some rapid fire questions for you to let people know a little bit more about Chris Rodriguez. I want you to rank your three favorite cereals.
My three favorite cereals.
Like breakfast cereals.
So got to go with Reese's Puffs is number one. You know.
Oh, Puffs. Interesting choice.
Got to go with the Reese's.
I don't think I've had Puffs.
I've had them. They're
really? Yeah. It's basically it's just the
like
Reese's.
Peanut,
peanut butter Reese's cupcakes. And then it melts into the milk. And then
it's like an upgraded Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, like the milk. Sure. Like
the
milk's the best part after you eat
for
it.
Sure.
Because it's just like chocolate and peanut butter and sugar.
Yeah, yeah. Then I'm going to go a little old school Frosted Flakes.
Nothing wrong with the little Frosted Flakes.
They're
little Tony
great.
The Tiger, you know?
Yeah, furries had to fucking ruin that for us, didn't they? And then number three, I'm going to go old school, just Cheerios. I love me some good Cheerios.
Oh, yeah. Cheerios is like, that was always like,
that's like the
going
OG.
To church. It was always like people had little bags of Cheerios to like
Honey
keep, the kids,
or original?
Keep the kids at bay, you know?
Probably go original.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep it simple, you know?
Right on.
Yeah.
Derb, you got a favorite cereal?
Like for me, like I'm thinking about it, like, I really liked, like this sounds like old and shitty, but like Cracklin' Oprah.
Like, what?
I don't even
like they were like little O's, but like they were like, it was like, I don't know. It was like a caramel, like, it was kind of like eating like a bar or whatever.
Aaron's old, everybody.
Yeah.
It's like alphabet.
Cracklin' Oprah.
It was O's. It was just the O's.
Cracklin' Oat Brand is what it was.
Oat Brand. I thought you said Cracklin' Oprah.
I
was like, what the fuck is this?
I thought he said O's. No. I was like, oh, it's alphabet cereal for people that are stupid.
No, they were shaped in it.
Just O's instead of the alphabet.
They were shaped in O's, and they taste like one of those Nature Valley bars or whatever.
Oh, that sounds good.
And so, like, it was good. Like, I mean, I was like you. I was like Frosted Flakes kid forever. Like, it was like Frosted Flakes all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's definitely up there. But, like, it's so weird because I haven't had cereal in years. Like, I'm trying to think of the last time I had cereal, it had to be in a shitty, like, hotel motel. Pop the box and, like, pour the stuff in and... And
that's your bowl.
Yeah.
Your bowl is the box.
Yeah. What's your Caleb? What's your
mine's about as white as it gets. It's the honey nut
honey nut
honey
Cheerios.
Honey nut Cheerios. Okay. And they're, you know, I'll even you know, just trying to on down the line of getting diabetes, I'll even put like a spoonful of sugar.
I just thought about this. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is up there too.
That oh, I fuck with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
About that. Like that was like something I blocked out because I'm trying to be healthy or
the
some
milk.
Shit.
Like the milk afterwards.
Oh, for sure. For
oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you could do the, what is it, the rum chata and the fireball.
Oh,
and
shit.
And make an adult honey.
You're right.
Oh, Cinnamon shit. Toast Crunch.
I remember my sister hadn't been out in years. She had had two kids, like she'd been pregnant and having kids and stuff, and I finally got her out. Mm-hmm. And finally got her out of the house to go party and stuff, and we did like a Honey Nut or the Toasted Crunch.
Yeah,
What the fuck? The
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Yeah, yeah.
We did those shot, and she was like, it was like a kid discovering like, ice cream for the first time.
She's
what the fuck?
Like, why have I not been eating this my whole life?
This is going to get me drunk? I was like,
100%.
And she's like, hell yeah, this is amazing.
It was awesome. Hell yeah. Do you have a question
Chris? I got a question for Mr. Chris. Chris, so the folks out there don't know this, but I just find it really, really interesting and just kind of... just an added like value type thing to like who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Is that like you're really, really career oriented. Like you've got a great, great job.
Yeah.
And you've worked hard at getting to where you're at today.
Yeah.
And I think that that shows that you care about the things that you invest your time in.
For sure.
And so I just think that for me, like I've always found like as a performer, you always are itching to get back up on the mic, but you've always found like you've always found like a really, really good work kind of play balance in your life. So I guess my question is like, how does that work in your head?
Yeah.
And it's like, do you just like donate time to like, all right, I'm not going to think about anything else and I'm going to work on straight comedy.
Yeah.
Or do you just, you know, are you just kind of always kind of working or cause like your job is like, you can talk about it, but I mean, you have a pretty, pretty, pretty baller ass job. And it's like, I guarantee you like us simpletons could not comprehend what the fuck you do. And so it's just kind of interesting to me that you can balance them.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is I feel like they almost like bleed into each other at times. And I know that that sounds weird. So, for those who don't know, I'm a process efficiency engineer. So I went to school, I'm an engineer by trade. I've been doing engineering for almost 6 years professionally. And, one thing I've learned is that, no matter what you do with your life, you're going to have to present to some very powerful people. You know, like I'm fortunate enough to work for a Fortune 500 company. And so we have a very extensive hierarchy. And so I'm literally having to present in person, like to executive level leadership, like what we're going to do to make sure that we are very prosperous in my aspects of the business. And that's terrifying, you know, like it's the same concept of like, you know, going up to doing an open mic for the first time. You're going up against a whole crowd of people trying to convince them in 5 minutes. You should listen to me. I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm going up in a crowd of very powerful executives saying, you need to listen to me and understand that what I'm doing is of value.
Right.
You know, so I feel like that same frame of thinking kind of bleed into each other. So one thing and one reason I'm so grateful for comedy is. The fact that I can go up and do a set, and even when you bomb, like I completely bomb some nights, and I can handle it. I can mentally handle it. The fact that I can mentally handle that, there's not a whole lot else out there that I can't handle when it comes to a public speaking perspective. So that's how I kind of approach it. I learned that it's very much an avenue for creativity, something I very much enjoy. It gives me an outlet, but it also allows me to remain with my level of confidence, which you've spoken about a couple of times in this podcast, to also bleed into my professional life. So whenever I go and speak to these high level executives, I'm extremely confident in what I'm about to present. So
nice. So it's like, you know, you got these guys in suits, but it's like, yeah, well, I saw Terry with his shirt off with a Coors Light screaming, fuck you at the bar. I can handle this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If I can handle a bunch of hecklers and a bunch of people. Because you've seen my comedy. I'm extremely dark. I don't believe in PC. So I am 100% going to piss off somebody that night.
Sure.
There is no way I'm going to, even if it's a crowd of 20, a third of those people are going to be thoroughly pissed off.
Yeah.
So I can handle that, you know, and it's allowed me to be laid in. Like when you have an executive grailing into you saying, what are our projections for next quarter? It doesn't affect me. You know?
Right.
So you just got to be confident.
and you just need to be, you know, willing to answer those things as confidently as possible. So,
did you think about doing comedy or something like this to help you with that aspect of your career, or actually, did you just kind of
I just loved it. So I've always loved comedy. Me and my father growing up, we used a bunch of the old school stuff. My dad loved Lewis Black and the blue collar comedy. Probably not even the whole blue collar comedy tour, but like Ron White. Ron White and Lewis Black.
Ron White's the son of Texas.
Yeah, there's something about like his ass, like with a cigar and a whiskey, just sitting on a chair that you're like, this is gonna be good.
Yeah, like those other guys, like they were established and stuff, but like Ron White was the shining star of that.
Oh,
like,
for sure,
group.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I love Ron White, and so Ron White and Lewis Black. Me and my dad loves comedy, and I've always enjoyed it. Growing up and then being in college around the the Daniel Tosh era, but where I felt like I was like, I enjoy this so much, I want to try it, was I give everything to Anthony Jeselnik. He's an extremely I'm all about efficiency, both with my professional life and personal life. And I have never seen comedy written so efficiently. The verbiage, the execution. And it's like, because you see, and nothing against it, you see comedians that like, they'll have jokes that last 4 or 5 minutes. They have little mini punchlines. And I think that's great. I mean, that's cool that they can do that. But Anthony Jeselnik is like, no, I'm going to do as efficiently. I'm going to get the setup, the punchline, and kill within 15 seconds. And then if you don't like it, no worries. Wait another 15 seconds.
Yeah.
I got another.
Yeah.
And I'm just like so deeply inspired by that. Like, obviously, I don't want to emulate him per se. You know,
sure.
I also have my own vibe and my own like, you know, my own thoughts that go through my head. But like, when I saw that, I was like, it was thoughts and prayers. That was when I watched that back in, I think, it was like,
don't forget about me.
It's like, I'm sad too. You know, yeah. And so like, I was just there. I was like, this is such a masterpiece. Like, and I was like, I want to do this. You know, when I saw that, and it just kind of pushed me over the edge. So that's where I was like, kind of writing some, you know, a little bit of comedy in my own realm in the background. And then the stars aligned that one night at the Lantern. I was like, all right, let's put this shit live. Let's see if I can do it. And then just kind of learned and listened and respond. You know, like when the crowds weren't digging it, was it because it was just a bad joke? Was it just like a tough crowd? Was it something I needed to do on my execution? And I'm never the one to blame a crowd ever, but you know, you just see, but at the end of the day, that's quote kind of like your customer. And I was like,
sure.
I was like, how do you make a joke that's like, even if it's dark and gritty, how do you still win them over?
Yeah. You want to bring it back
in. And I just think it's fascinating, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Hell yeah. All right. All right, so this has been a fun podcast. The way we like to close this stuff out is you get to pick a vinyl from what I said last time, which I was obviously too drunk to be on the podcast. I said short vinyl collection. It's small vinyl collection. And like, let me just say that like we took a weird shot of a weird liquor before we started that show.
Oh my
and so
God.
I'm Excuses. Glad that I'm glad you all have the history Weakness. Of me deteriorating through that show.
There was a pepper in it, right?
It
was hot.
Yeah. I think there was a roofie in it. That's really what I think.
Because so
I
just Hobart put some prescription drugs.
Yeah. I mean, he was a pharmacist, so we can't let him off the hook just yet. But so you've selected the Gardens in Via album. I got that album at a concert from Gardens in Via that we're in. It was an after show after a fun fest in Austin, Texas. And they performed an after show, and I'm like, man, they're really good. Like, I'm gonna grab one of their vinyls, and it was a good show. So
was that the same one that Slayer headlined?
Yeah. I was at the Slayer. Yeah, I've seen Slayer twice at Fun nice, Fest because like nice. They just like I'm like I want to hear Raining Blood, and then I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, when I think of hippies, I think Raining Blood.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I've never heard of them.
Oh yeah, like they're good. Like they've got some. We were saying jazz flute. They've got like a flautist in their group or whatever. But like, why did you draw yourself to that one? Is it the cover art or?
Yeah, definitely the cover art has a picture of a you know, a star shower. You know, asteroids. I've always been one in tuned with the cosmos, being a man of science. And I just
so you believe in science, so you're not like the administration or anything.
Yeah. So that's that one statement actually infuriates me as an adult that science is not a belief system.
Jesus.
Science is science. It doesn't give a fuck about your beliefs.
It's like built to where like it's set up to it's just like it doesn't work. It's proven it doesn't work, and then we move on.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, it's like, oh, well, this and that, we proved it wrong. It's like, yeah, it's called fucking science. We literally write papers on how wrong we were about things. That's confirming, you know. And
see, like he's like just an actual functioning human being. Like
we talked about earlier.
I think there's a lot of those in America, but like the people that have the loudest voices, like, you know, like they don't really believe in that shit. So then, it's kind of annoying.
And then everyone else is like just distracted by the most orange object in the room. So they're just like, yeah, that's awesome.
Like, Earth is flat. I was like, jump off it, please do it.
Yeah,
like gravity's a theory. Yeah. You know, you should really, you know, if you really believe it's just a theory, just jump off that cliff. And then I said that, and then the Rocket Man who thought the Earth was flat, killed himself. I was like, Darwinism. At least I don't have to pay for his social security. You know, fuck him.
Yeah. Well, at least we don't have to hear about his dumbass anymore. Yeah. Like, I'm the Rocket Man, and
he must have watched that. Like, what was that Star Trek movie? Like, where they first do time, like where they first get the warp or whatever, and it was like the crazy kooky guy that like shot the rocket up, and it's like, oh, you know, and then the alien races is like, oh, we need to talk to these people, the Vulcans or whatever. They're like, oh yeah, we got to talk to these people. Yeah. He's like, I can do that. That's me. Yeah,
the whole thing blew my mind because I've actually done projects with NASA, like NASA proper before in my college years. And when I saw the rocket he was building up, I was like, that man's going to die. I was like, as a person who has literally built rockets in his lifetime, I was like, you're going to fucking die.
Yeah, like, this isn't going to work.
Right.
God. Like, would you want to work for NASA? Like, would that, like, I mean, like,
I did some stuff with them in college. I did some university-based initiatives with them. We were trying to determine like the CO2 in the atmosphere and that kind of stuff. But to answer your question, maybe. I feel like nowadays with the excitement of space flight being commercialized with SpaceX, Blue Origin. We actually have Blue Origin within shooting distance of here of Lubbock, Texas. There's a little town between us and El Paso where Blue Origin, which is Virgin Galactic. Is it Virgin Galactic? You can check me on all that. Essentially, there's three different private industries that are outside of NASA that are providing spaceflight, which I find exciting. I could see myself getting involved with that versus NASA proper.
Yeah.
Nothing against NASA. I just feel like NASA is more of like the person that is the customer, and you have these competing companies. Just from my personal perspective, I find more exciting to be part of that. So,
Would you ever get on one and go to space?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I'm terrified of heights, and there's no height greater than space.
Yeah. You sound like the worst guy. You'd be the last guy I'd ever want to get on one with.
Oh, so legit story.
Like,
so
I hate heights, but we're going to space. Like, bitch, you about to be
I'm about to conquer my demons over here.
So legit story about heights. So, like, I go to Houston to their buoyancy lab. They're in, like, Johnson Space Flight Center in Houston, Texas. And it's this huge ass pool where they train the astronauts to feel like what the effects of zero gravity is. So they have like a little space shuttle under this huge ass pool to, you know, teach them how to work in this environment. And I'm there, and I was like, I tell like the engineer, I was like, have you guys ever done this symbol? And I know the listeners can't hear, but basically that's the symbol for scuba diving for shark. So I was like, have you ever fucked with the astronaut? I'd be like, sharks in the water, sharks in the water. And I thought, brilliant joke, nailed it. And they're like, no, we don't do that. We take everything seriously. Like,
we're all too serious.
Yeah,
over
we're very
here,
serious.
You know?
This
like,
is
come
government
on.
Funding, sir.
Every
minute is
like, come on. That's fucking hilarious. Like, you're just there. You're like, oh my god, do the shark symbol and like try to swim off to see the astronaut, because the astronauts are usually like kind of like pinned down in their suits in order to like understand the movement and stuff like that. And no,
the Christmas Story kid.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, yeah. Because they want to understand like the actual motion of everything up in space, and they're like not having fun with it. I was like, oh, come on, you got to fuck with them a little bit. I was like, god damn it. Come on, NASA.
Yeah, I feel like an astronaut's sense of humor would be way more up like Stephen Feldman's. Just punny. That's it. There's nothing that's going to go.
Like, and then they say the joke, and like everybody's like, ugh.
Bad taste.
It's like, you know, cause like, I mean, there's nothing worse than a bad pun, and like the guy thinks it's hilarious. He's like, ugh.
Yeah. or like them just responding.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the worst response to any joke or comments like that. Yeah. That's funny, or you were good too. You know? Like,
yes.
That is the worst thing ever in any open mic experience or any time. Because they go to talk to the person they thought was funny, and then you're just standing there next to him, and they're like, he were good too. I'm like, fuck you. Just don't say anything.
Yeah,
like,
dude, you're doing worse. Just don't talk to me. Oh, my God.
Like, I'm the exact opposite. Like, have you ever considered like being good at this? Like, you know, I feel like, I feel like it'd really, like, you know, keep the vibe a lot better than whatever the fuck it is you're doing. Like,
you're like, you're terrible. Just get out of here. Just leave now.
Yeah. Man, that would be, I mean, that's a crazy concept. Like, people coming to shoot their shots, like, after the mic is not hot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You're just standing there vulnerable, and they're like, hey, you fucking suck.
Yeah, yeah. I'm holding all my heckling until you're done, and then I'm going to talk to you about it.
Remember that joke? An hour ago, sucked.
Well, basically, that's how I host. Whenever I host, when I would host the open mic, I wouldn't be like, oh, everybody, come break out this person. I would say some defamation and be like, all right, this person, you know, throws puppies downstairs. Let's break up the next comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Hosting's the best, though, because you have more bullets. It's the only time you can do comedy where you're just like, you're like, oh, you're going to fucking talk shit to me? I get to come back up
here.
I never understood that.
I never understood the comedians that would talk shit about the host. Like, you know, I get the mic infinite, right?
Yeah,
like,
I get to come back up and talk shit to you.
I literally walk up here after you.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah. All right, dumbass, here we go.
Yeah. Like,
I'm trying to think. There was a time that I had a guy do the post show, like, hey, you just to let you know, you suck. And I knew him. Like, I knew him.
He's
from
like your
high
best
school.
Friend. He's like, he was my dad. No,
it was dad. R.I.P. dad. No, it was a guy that I knew from high school, and he had just like he had just knocked up this chick that was in my grade. He was older than me, and he like they had just got like we're pregnant. Like, no, like,
oh, you're part of my family now.
Fuck. Yeah. So like, no, not in my family. I just knew him from high school, but it was like the perfect timing in the world. He's like, hey, you kind of suck at this. I was like, yeah, well, your pullout game's weak, dude. So,
enjoy that fucking baby.
Enjoy the next 18 years, motherfucker.
And he just like stood there. He's like, you know, I could beat you up, right? I was like, yeah, but you're not going to.
You're not doing it because you got a family to support right now.
What I said deserves a punch in the face. And whenever you didn't do that, I know you're bluffing. So fuck you.
I'm surprised I haven't gotten jumped on stage yet, because the amount of times I've hosted and just said horrific things and like the gaggle of Karens in the background, just I literally walked.
I really think like
Karens before.
Yeah, I mean, like, Cole's gotten the worst response.
Oh,
I think.
Sure.
And I'm like, it's crazy because like he's a guy in a wheelchair, and he's gotten more like hate from people.
Yeah,
you know, just in the audience and stuff. And I'm like, wow.
I think that lady was having a bad day.
I think that was a rough time.
Just exactly, he had the exact jokes that were just gonna set her off.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She was just having a bad.
Who would have thought people at a bar drinking a lot wouldn't be, you know, in a good
mental
state?
Yeah. Shit. I mean, what is our clientele? we need to find some sane people to you know. Well, they just didn't. No one got my joke. Yeah, no shit. They're like 9 shots deep. They're not gonna get anything. Yeah.
Why are they talking over me? It's because they're drunk.
Yeah,
and we're at a bar, and
that's
like,
where, like,
for the people don't know, it's like all of our shows in Lubbock are bar shows.
Yeah.
So like.
Yes.
We've done to the point where we've had the show good enough to where, like, the show is the show and the bar has to take a back seat to the show. But a lot of times it's just you're dealing with, you know, people taking shots and cheating on their wives and shit. So, like, it's just where
you're at. It's fun.
Is that our demographic?
We crush in the infidelity market.
Yeah. I don't know why, but he's really connecting with the audience. Yeah, he's divorced and been cheating on his wife, his current wife.
So we say that, but I've done jokes about like jokingly, like how I've cheated on my wife, who clearly doesn't exist because I'm not married. But I've done jokes and set up dark shit about that, like child support and stuff like that. And literally, like, the whole back room of Karens are like, oh, no, that happened to me. And they just fucking walk out.
You're like, that son of a bitch.
I wonder if you've, like, in telling those jokes, if you've, like, directly affected, like, a bartender's tip.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever
thought about that as a comedian?
Like, well, I mean, like for our...
She ain't tipping anything. Sorry.
Our hit list, the stand-up comedy scene has created at least 2 divorces one or two marriages. Like, I mean,
I know exactly what you're talking about. We have contributed
to the social construct of this area, but I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but I love it.
So. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I probably was one of the spearheads of this. So there was a very prestigious young woman that moved away. I think we know who we're talking about. I'm not going to mention names, but her husband at the time went to one of her open mic shows. And I did a whole like 3 minute bits about like abortion and murdering kids. You know, my wheelhouse. You know, I was like, hey, you guys like murdering kids? You know, let's talk about it for a few minutes. So I did this whole thing and I just do my bit. This guy gives me the death stare as I'm going back to my seat. I'm like, dude, it was a 5 minute set. Like, get the fuck over it. And he did not stop looking at me for like almost 20 minutes. Turns out I learned after the fact that they had like a miscarriage and I made at least 3 miscarriage jokes. And
yeah, you don't know that, though.
I don't do a fucking survey. Like, I need a survey to make sure these jokes don't offend you. I was like, believe me, I will offend you.
They're all jokes. It's not true. Yeah, like I say something about Dale Earnhardt Jr. and he's your cousin. I don't fucking know that shit.
Yeah.
That's the most frustrating thing.
It's like my cousin was a miscarriage. Like, well, that doesn't even make sense. Like,
yeah, that's got to be the most frustrating thing as a comedian, where you're just trying to make light out of something that's shitty.
Yeah.
Or just fuck with it. Who cares? Yeah. Just, hey.
No one's talking about it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I know your style. It's like, all right, what are the issues that are on the razor's edge? I'm going to fuck with them. that's what he likes to do. It's like, I don't know. People that personalize jokes to themselves, like, oh, you're doing this because I'm here.
You're talking about me. Fuck it's just you. Like, yeah, that's
no one fucking cares about you. No one gives a fuck about your miscarriage that's doing comedy.
Well, I mean, that's serious.
Hey, is it terrible? Yeah, sorry that happened, but we don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Everybody, like, we've built this culture of everybody thinks about themselves and it's all important to themselves because that's what's designed to you. All your social media is catered to what you're thinking about and stuff. And it's just like, you say miscarriage, and we're all going to get miscarriage, like, fucking, like, ads on our phone now.
Yes.
So, like, I mean.
Oh my God! So
now I'm getting fucking premium food to prevent miscarriages. I'm like, well, my pull-out game's not that weak, asshole. Fuck you, Facebook. No.
Since you said that, just like your phone's listening to you for ads, I do have to say this.
I got a penis enlargement ad.
No, it's super fucking funny, and it's like in my mind, like, why don't they just do this to everybody until they buy the premium product? So, like, Pandora free, they're gonna send you a bunch of ads. Like, so Lindley apparently looked up some woman's product for fragrant for her, and then literally every single fucking ad is, "Sir, vagina stinks. We can help."
I love how blunt it is. It's like so fucking
it's like every single one. I'm like, dude, this is brilliant.
This should be
a marketing tactic. You got a small penis. Well, we can help. It's like, no. Next one. I don't want to hear this about myself. It's like, okay, I'll buy the premium product. Stop abusing me.
Stop the bombardment or whatever and stuff.
So you got big testes and you sit on them whenever you sit down. Well, take this product.
That would be great. Like, shame marketing is basically what that is.
Buy Pandora Premium and you won't have to hear me talk about your smelly balls.
Well, that's how fucking Spotify got me. So I got back on with Spotify back in like 2011 when it first came to the US. Remember that whole thing where, like, it's like, oh, only premium, like, exclusive invited members get on it. They tried to make it smart.
Yeah.
And it's so they gave me the free version of it. And I'm literally on a laptop. This was before smartphones were there, but hadn't fully taken off. We're still in like the 3G era. This is like back in 2011. And I'm there in fucking college. I'm like about to transfer to tech. And I was like, all my playlists were like fucking System of Down, Korn, Disturbed. Fucking like new metal. I'm
a lot
so
of rage
edgy
with this kid.
Yeah, fucking, you know, fucking edgy and cool. And then all the comments, like, it's like, listen to Lil Wayne's personal playlist. Like, yeah. You know, every fucking 30 minutes, like,
or you can give us $9 and we'll never play this again.
Yeah. You can, yeah. If you just give us $5 for right now, we're going to give you half price.
Yeah.
And then next month, you'll pay full price, but you won't have to listen to this dumb shit.
Do you remember Columbia House? No one else does. Yeah. So just get involved in the group.
So I gave them $9 since 2011, so I'd never have to hear another Lil Wayne fucking commercial. Yeah. Fucking Spotify.
Well, it's like I'm on JJ's Spotify account because he got so mad about me telling jokes about like how I don't pay for Spotify. He's just like, I'm putting you on my family account. I'm like, oh, that's adorable. Okay.
JJ actually has a heart.
Yeah. We'll have JJ on next episode. So
JJ, you're next, bitch.
Yeah. So be ready.
Fucking JJ. I love JJ.
But this is a pretty good episode. Are you guys comfortable with this? You feel pretty good about it?
Yeah. I'm going to find out if my wife listens to this or not. She's got to listen to the very end to get that content.
That's where all the Easter eggs are. It's at the very end and stuff.
We'll
it's
find
just
out.
Like,
I'm like, hey, guys, I'm in trouble.
The end credit scene of fucking podcasting. You know?
If I have to send Aaron a text this week where it's like, hey, if you
drop,
could just...
Can you drop the episode?
Can you cut it off like right before I start talking about women's feminine products? That'd be great. I'm kind of fucked right now.
So this is first stage, episode 7. It might be Caleb's last episode. We don't know.
I might have a small suspension pending, reviewed by the NBA. We'll see.
This is a special guest, Chris Rodriguez. Yeah, he is a Heat fan, and they're about to play the Lakers
game
tonight,
six.
Right now, and stuff.
Game
so
six. Yeah, let's get to a game 7 though.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's get
it. Tuesday, we'll find out who the real winner is. Hopefully.
Let's go.
All right. We'll see you next week. Later.
All right. Much love. See you guys.